That is music by Tia Fuller, as played by animated saxophonist Dorothea Williams in the Pixar movie Soul. If you haven't seen it, Dorothea leads her band, the Dorothea Williams Quartet, and helps main character Joe pursue his dream of performing jazz on stage. Works great for the plot, but the reality is female jazz musicians are still relatively rare compared with their male counterparts. Oftentimes, even if women are on the stage, they are on an island surrounded by men. Terry Lynn Carrington knows the dynamic well, both as a jazz musician herself, also actually as a consultant behind Soul's music. But Carrington and others are looking to change that status quo with a new program at the Berklee College of Music. The Next Jazz Legacy will aim to mentor and nurture young women and non-binary jazz musicians. Their inaugural class will launch this winter, with applications being accepted now till the end of November. And here to talk more about the program is Terry Lynn Carrington, chair of the Next Jazz Legacy and founder of the Berklee Institute of Jazz and Gender Justice. Terry Lynn, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Very nice to be here.
It's exciting to have you. And forgive me, but I'm actually going to start by playing a little bit more music, your music. This is you playing Blackbird by the Beatles with the house band for the Arsenio Hall show. You were the show's house drummer, as I understand it. Let's take a listen. So I wanted to play that for you because in watching the video, Terry Lynn, you are a woman in almost entirely surrounded by men. Talk about that, this place of women in jazz.
Well, that's been the case throughout my whole career. I got my union card when I was 10, I think, here in Boston. And I'm 56, so I've had 46 years of professional drumming so far. And it's always been dominated by men. And I just took that as the way it is, and I accepted it, and I thought that was normal. And about 5 years ago or so, I started really feeling like we needed to make more space, you know, not in a couple of years, not 10 years down the line, but right now. And that's when I started the Institute at Berklee. But this program is a partnership with New Music USA, and Vanessa Reed, who's the president and CEO of New Music USA, we've been concocting this for about a year and a half. And, you know, very pleased with the fact that we're able to do it through the funding of the Mellon Foundation, and will affect at least 20 young women and non-binary performers within the next 3 years.
So, you know, I know a study done by NPR Music Jazz Critics poll in 2019 showed that fewer than 16% of artists on jazz records were women, for example. What will this program do for upcoming jazz artists who are women, who are non-binary, to help change the landscape of the genre?
Well, I think we'll draw more attention to the fact that young women and non-binary artists need to be mentored more and have these types of apprenticeship situations to really get their playing on the level that they want it to be. Because often what happens is women end up playing together because that's the community they're in, and they're not able to necessarily always break through with some of the male colleagues that they want to play with, or their people they look up to. So they end up playing together or becoming band leaders maybe a little too early before they're ready. Because I know that most of the people that I know that are great, they really studied under somebody. When I say study, I don't mean at a school. I mean on stage, traveling, learning on the job. And that's really the only way you can learn how to play jazz. So this program is to help these 20 women that will affect in the next 3 years, help them find apprenticeship situations.
I want to talk a little bit more about that apprenticeship. You know, I feel like in the last couple of years, especially in the wake of the hashtag MeToo movement, we've started to have a more in-depth conversation about both the experiences of women in the workplace, but also mentorship and what's been missing in bringing up the next generation. And now we're increasingly having that same conversation for members of the non-binary community, the LGBTQ community. How essential is somebody bringing you up to being able to take the next step in a career as just unbelievably competitive, I'm assuming, as jazz?
Yes, it's extremely competitive. And when young people graduate from college, if they go to college, you don't have to have graduated from college to be in this program. But when you do graduate and you go into the professional world, the competition is great. In fact, when I graduated, well, I didn't graduate from Berkeley, but when I left Berkeley in the 1983, I think it was, 84, my mentor, Jack DeJohnette, he told me to go to New York and put myself in the environment where the competition is the greatest. And basically, I would sink or swim. But he was there to, you know, to help me. But he also told me that my competition was him and everybody else that played the drums that, you know, lived in New York or that played jazz. So it is extremely competitive. And I feel like without these types of mentors and without apprenticeships, you don't really have the same chance. You know, you don't, you're not on the scene in the same way. You know, somebody has to show you the ropes. And that's how jazz has always been. And that's, you know, what the foundation of the music is, passed down from one person to another.
I'm going to play you a little more of your music again. This is from your record, TLC and Friends. You were 16. Here is La Bonita. Bear with me as I connect these dots, because I'm listening to this music you as a young person playing, and I'm thinking about newly elected Boston Mayor Michelle Wu last night in her victory speech, saying that her sons asked her, hey, can a boy run for mayor too? Which was a framework for them, because they only knew a girl running for mayor. Would your music then have been different in any way if you'd been seeing girls all around you?
Well, I'm not sure how different it would be, but I would suspect that it would be different, because I'm always compared to men. And as far as I was concerned, I had to play as good as the next guy. And that was what I tried to do. I didn't want anybody to say I played like a girl, because I would have taken that not as a compliment. Now I feel like we have to embrace our differences and be open to a possible different aesthetic in the music, based on our gender identity. And I was never open to that before. And now I am. So I try to embrace it within myself more. It worked out for me because I was a tomboy growing up, and I always wanted to, you know, play with the boys and play sports, even though I wasn't very good at it. But I wanted to do the things that the boys did. And I think some young women, you know, naturally aren't that way, and nor should they have to be able to make it in jazz.
Are there women or non-binary artists who have really influenced you?
Well, I believe in mutual mentorship. So my students influence me all the time. I have so many students that I learn from. I think it helps me to remain relevant. It keeps me up to date with what's happening and keeps my ideas fresh. So I would have to say yes, you know, to that in some ways. But just as far as, you know, my main influences, there weren't very many women at all, you know, while I was developing. So, you know, unfortunately, I don't have any mentors that were female.
And that's really what this is about, right? I'm 10 years from now, I get to talk to another jazz artist who answers that question differently.
Yes, that is exactly what it's about. But it's not women mentoring women. It's everybody mentoring women. So our band leaders will be both male and female, because a big part of this program is for the people that have benefited the most from, you know, oppressive structure that we've been dealing with. I mean, I think they have a real responsibility to help change it as well.
What are you hearing from musicians in the jazz community about this program? What's the response been?
Well, we just launched a couple of days ago, so I haven't heard a whole lot.
Early days.
Yeah, but I mean, in general, all the work that I do with the Institute has been embraced by most of my male colleagues. And I mean, what I find interesting is either people are progressive or they're not. And it often doesn't boil down to their gender, because there are women that they don't want to be a part of anything that is centered around women, because, you know, we've been trained well to think that that means it's not as good, or that we're bringing attention to the fact that women, and people, you know, will say to me all the time, I'm not a woman this or a woman that, you know, I'm just, you know, just a musician, or I'm just, and I understand that, because that's how I felt. And that was my response as well years ago. But, you know, as I said, now I'm trying to embrace what might make me different and embrace all the sides of myself.
You mentioned, you know, founding Berklee's Institute of Jazz and Gender Justice. So let's fast forward 10 years. You're looking at jazz 10 years from now. You're thinking back on this week when you launched this program. How might music be transformed?
How might music be transformed? Well, I think the most important thing is that we're trying to transform the culture. You know, and I think the music will tell its own story, but we're trying to shift the narrative. And so far, that narrative has remained pretty heavily on men play the instruments and women sing. That's kind of been the unspoken narrative that I've seen in jazz. And you always have a few women that pop up that play great, but then there are the exceptions. And we're trying to, you know, make the, you know, help the culture change to not accepting that there are a few women that are exceptions, but we want to have women that are great, women that are mediocre, you know, all throughout the entire ecosystem.
And who should apply? How can they apply?
Well, they can apply online. They just look up Next Jazz Legacy or go to New Music USA website. They should find it. And I can't remember if we made the age limit 32 or something like that. And you have to be 21, I think. But yeah, I think if you're an emerging, if you consider yourself an emerging artist, then you should apply.
All right. And we'll have that information on our website at radioboston.org. Terry Lynn Carrington, chair of the Next Jazz Legacy and founder of the Berklee Institute of Jazz and Gender Justice. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'd like to go out on some more music by Terry Lynn. This is she with an accompanying all-female band covering the Mary Lou Williams song Pisces for the Library of Congress. That's our show for today.